Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! Oh, LeBron James with no regard for human life.
12 seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Iverson against Gill. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up? What up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. We are up to episode 5 now. And I'm Nick Engvall, and I'm here with my friends Mike Guillory and Robbie Fauci just to talk some sneakers. So I guess, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. Just here to get some good sneaker talking.
I'm great, gentlemen. Looking forward to it all.
So start off, what's going on? What's newsworthy in the world of sneakers that you guys have seen in the last week or two?
What I saw today, quick little tweet from the guys over at Finish Line telling people not to oversleep tomorrow morning, and with a nice picture of a pair of Concord. So I'm guessing there's like going to be a little restock tomorrow. So it's pretty newsworthy for any collector out there.
It's definitely good news.
Yeah, I love stuff like that, but it'd be even cooler if it was a true random drop, like
unannounced.
It's awesome that it's not, yeah, like completely unannounced. I want to say like 2014, 13 to 15, but let's use that date range. a lot of like retailers, you know, Finish Line, Foot Locker, Nike Direct, they were all just doing a lot of random Wednesday afternoon. You could count on every couple months after big releases come out. And I've got very lucky on those because it takes away a lot of the numbers game.
Yeah.
Of people just sitting there with thoughts.
Yeah.
Waiting for hours. so I saw that also, but I would like to just see like completely random. Just here's a Twitter link. Go get at it.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I think that's kind of, it just adds excitement. Even if it doesn't give you a better chance, it feels like it does, right?
Yeah,
you got a story.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, got these on a Wednesday out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
It makes you feel better. The hunt's always great.
Yeah, definitely. As far as news, I don't know, I just saw the. Like the Bodega 997S. It's like a gray and purple and orange. Yeah, it's a really dope looking shoe. I mean, I'm a big fan of New Balance. I think like the quality of those shoes is always really, really impressive to me. But man, those are like next level fire to me. So hopefully there's enough to go around.
But I hope so too. I've always heard horror stories about trying to buy anything from Bodega. It's tough to get through, so maybe I get lucky.
Yeah, I don't know. There's actually a really so little tangent here, but like if you're ever in, so Bodega's name is you know based on the fact that their store is a bodega in Boston, right?
Yeah.
And you go through the back, and so if you're ever in LA, it's a place called Row DTLA downtown. They have there's a Bodega store there that is basically like three stories. It's a beautiful store. It's probably one of the coolest stores I've ever been in as far as a sneaker store goes. And it's like the first level is like sneakers. There's a little like, you know, kind of like bodega where there's knickknacks and stuff. And then
There's like a little like Vans Vault room on its own. And then you go kind of upstairs. They have like this kind of like an in-between level that's just like a little chill area. And then you go up to the third floor, I guess second floor. I don't know how technically it is. But the top floor of the store is like all the like apparel. You know, they've got Stone Island and, you know, like Nike ACG and Stussy and a bunch of bodega stuff. But they've got like a couch set up and a ping pong table, so you can just like chill up there and play ping pong in their store, which is super dope. Oh, it's just awesome. And they always got music bumping. It's dope. It's really, really impressive. If any of you ever come to LA, definitely give it a check, because the coolest part about it is you walk in to, much like the Boston store, you walk into what looks like a warehouse, like a food. It's like a, like if you walked into the back of a bodega, right, and it was just like you were on a dock, and like you pushed through like the you know, like the plastic or the vinyl, like, you know,
grapes or whatever those are,
and there's like literally boxes of fruit and stuff, and you're just walking through, and like next thing you're in the store. So super dope.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, Robbie, was there anything newsworthy you wanted to point out?
You took the words out of my mouth with that 997S. it's so pretty. Yeah. And New Balance did that same silhouette with Kiss in a 3-pack at the tail end of last year. And those were all super hard to get through. But those are just a very well created shoe, from the materials to the color choices to the diversity of materials. They're like 5-6 different feels on that shoe. But honestly, it's not new news for my kind of tidbit, but I'm really excited for those white and navy snakeskin Air Jordan 11 Lows.
Yeah.
They come out in like April 19th, I believe. I think I have 9 pairs of Jordan 11 Lows. It's like my most, it's top Damn. 3 model for me. People sleep on it, man. It's like the 11 mid top is probably my favorite Jordan model, but the collar, and I guess like the ankle, always gets all creased, and it's not as mobile as you would like. I love wearing shorts, and the Jordan 11 Low just like hits off any short outfit perfectly. You know, it's just, I didn't get the 2014 Nightshade Air Jordan 11 Low. Those are black.
I remember that. Yeah.
Man, that breaks my heart. I think about those shoes weekly. Literally, if I see a pair on mine, I'm like, I need those. But yeah, the 11 Low, anything snakeskin I'm kind of into. And when you mix those two together, instant win for me.
All right.
Nice.
I can respect that. I guess before we get into the main topics, there's one other, like, not really news, just a question I have. And, you know, hopefully the people that are listening, you guys can give us some feedback on this. But I saw there's like another Foamposite Pro Hyper Crimson colorway coming out. And
yeah.
I can't help but just wonder, like, who's buying Foamposites? Like, why? let me rephrase that. I apologize in advance to my, like, DC homies. Because I know you guys are all still wearing Foamposites, and I know there's plenty of people in New York that are wearing them through the winter. But
DC.
Yeah, I just think that, like, we've been getting a ton of colorways of Foamposites, and there hasn't been, like, a real successful colorway in quite a while. And personally, yeah,
they
think...
fit on the shelf.
Yeah, personally, I think it's just time for Nike to, like, put a stop to it for a while. And let it let us miss it, you know, like bring it back 2 years from now when we haven't seen them for a while, and see how people are feeling. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. Throw it back in the vault, because this is just like what a few years back with the Air Jordan 3, where they thought of putting every color, every pattern on it, just to, you know, for them to fit on shelves. And I don't want these. If you're gonna give me a Foamposite, give me something classic. like down to the T, and like give me an actual retro, not oh this is that with a different color sole. But you know, let's put it away for a while, bring it back in 2025 when people are looking for it again.
It's a price point thing for me because man,
yeah, what are they like, 250 now?
220 yeah. For these.
Yeah,
they're rough. Though.
Either way, it's outrageous. And kind of like what you two were saying, let's see some classic colorways come back. I don't even think those would really move the needle like we would think, because they brought the eggplants back recently, and I think those only sold out so people could make $50 off a pair of shoes. But like those yeah. would have sat normally, and the last really good looking pair I could think of were like the Wu-Tang pair from like late 2017.
Yeah.
It's a black and yellow killer bees. And I literally saw those at three different outlet stores at various prices, and I still didn't pull the trigger. Like, I haven't bought a pair since 2014, like the Yeezy foams, like the black and pink. Those are literally the last pair of foam products I bought, and they're no longer in my collection. So those are dead as hell.
I've never owned a pair of foam posits except for the Zoom rookies, like the white pair that when they first came out back in 2011. But I've never owned a pair of actual of foams. And I don't know. I think it's probably, I didn't want to pay $200 for something that it was a snowboard, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, like, I worked at Foot Locker. This is kind of piggyback one last little point. I worked at Foot Locker, and I could have bought all those foam posits for 30% off, 40% off. And like those, that's when like the first like varsity red ones came out, and the pink foam, and like the teal foam posit pros. Like there have been really good releases. It's a very niche market now, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't know, man. It's crazy. And I guess that leads us into our one of our main topics. Like, you know, the beauty of the Jordan 11, you know, mid is that we only see it typically once a year, right? And it almost, I mean, maybe you see it twice, right? But like, for the most part, we're programmed for, you know, a year's worth of waiting. You know, we just, you know, this, you know, just this last week, it came out that the Jordan 11 quote bread is releasing on December 14th. And we were talking before about having stuff be announced a year in advance just seems so insane. But it also, you know, on the same, you know, line of thinking, maybe it is because we don't see them all the time that it just seems crazy, right? You know, I think you could potentially do, you know, one foam posit a year and make it a colorway or a story that really hits and people would be into it. But if they're always coming out and you're, you know, like way overpriced, right? Like even the Jordan 11 is like creeping up. I think it's 220 or maybe two. Yeah, I think it's 220.
It's 220 now. Yeah.
And I mean, damn, it's just insane to me. But what do you guys think about, you know, obviously the playoff 11's coming back. The 12-14, you know, I think it's cool that it's coming out before Christmas so people can actually buy it, you know, significantly before Christmas so people can actually buy it, order it, and give it to people as a gift. Do we really need to know this far in advance?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we all know already. They're going to come out within the, like, second or third week of December every year. I mean, this kind of goes back to one of the posts I had on the site on sneaker history. Just, are we oversaturating with the 11s? I mean, it's an iconic shoe. Everyone knows what that shoe is. Sneakerheads, non-sneakerheads, your parents, grandparents, they recognize the shoe because it was just a moment in history. But we're getting so many releases. Like even Robbie mentioned his what he's looking forward to is that snakeskin Jordy 11, which is actually I think going to be followed up with the white and pink snakeskin color, and then we're going to have a couple more in between. I'm going to try to buy it because it was the second Jordan I ever owned in my life, so it has a little bit of significance to me. It was one of my school shoes back when I was in first grade, and so it would be cool to have it again in its close to original form. But we're going to release on December 14th. It's going to see, just like the Concourse scene, this kind of random small release at Finish Line. It's going to happen again. It's going to have those different Jordan moments on sneakers. It's going to pop up again. I mean, people are going to buy it. They're going to sell out, but I don't think there's a real significance to it anymore.
Yeah, it's really died down to the point where we're all kind of expecting to hear what holiday Air Jordan 11 drops the day a current one drops. So, like, Concourse came out this year. I'm pretty sure the next day it was like, oh, 364 days from now, we're going to get the bread Air Jordan 11. And that, like, kills a lot of the experience for some people. I know myself, I love that shoe, and I need a new pair, so I'm going to buy it regardless of when you tell me you're coming. I'm just going to – it's going to happen either way. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. I'm going to buy another pair of bread. So
I wonder if that's
when it's effective.
Yeah, I wonder if that's if that strategy is based more on, you know, the average consumer instead of the sneakerhead, right? Like, you know, we're looking for new stuff coming out all the time anyway, right? Like, we're paying attention relatively, you know, regularly, right? I would say that, you know, if I'm, you know, really busy, I might not look at sneaker releases, you know, for a day at most. So, yeah. And I'm always trying to, like, keep up and see, and maybe it's just because I'm, you know, so into it. But for the consumer that doesn't buy sneakers all the time, you know, because obviously they make, you know, I think, you know, there was like however many millions of pairs this year of Concords, but that also draws in a crazy amount of people that, you know, are much more casual about their passion for sneakers, right? They might, maybe that's like a once a year purchase for them. And
yeah.
And in that case, I think, you know, maybe the brands are just trying to, you know, draw on that energy to make people to plant the seed, you know, in those customers' eyes. But then now that I'm saying that, it doesn't make sense because they're not looking at the same places that we're looking to see what's coming out. Right. I don't know. Maybe Instagram has changed that. Maybe, you know, they're following sneaker news and they're buying, you know, two or three pairs of sneakers a year. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, but it's everywhere now. If you look at it, it's not just on our normal, you know, sneaker guys and girls following, you know, these specific sites, but they're everywhere. You're looking at just random news sites. You know, you're going to, you know, your Google homepage or Yahoo homepage, and might be something about it. But I'm trying to find, like, when you're talking, I was trying to find, a good, maybe wholesome thought to why they do it. It's like, well, you know, those kids who can maybe only get one or two pairs of shoes a year, maybe this is their... You know, not a kid knows, hey, it comes out December 14th, I can save my, you know, my allowance, I can save my dollars and do my best to try to get it. Which, actually, that's one of the positive ways I'm trying to think of it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, sneakerheads always kind of go in a weird, like, negative way sometimes. So, I was like, maybe this is just a good way for them, like, hey, go back to little Billy again, we talked about in the previous episode. He's going to save his money. He knows when December 14th comes around to be in front of his computer, in front of the sneakers app, I have I have $220. I saved all year. This is going to be, you know, my gift to myself. It's a story for him. So hopefully that's what they're thinking.
Yeah. I mean, like, a couple points to that. Nike, and I know other brands do it too, they have, like, the attainable shoe category where you could be able to go into your local sneaker shop and buy a pair of, like, Jordan True Flight. That's, like, anybody who just recognizes a Jumpman, they just casually buy that shoe. But models like, I think we can even categorize it to a price tag, like a pair of retro Jordans over 190, that's an aspirational shoe. That's a shoe that a lot of consumers might need 5 extra months of planning and saving. So a 17-year-old can go buy a pair of Jordan 11 Bread, or maybe somebody who has a lower paying job can, you know, pace themselves financially to be able to buy their end of year treat. So it's like, I think that's part of the reason why they sell these really so early. And the Jordan 11 specifically had a lot of negative connotations publicly. Go back and think about like the Space Jam release from like 2009, and then specifically the Concord and the 2012 Reds. People were getting shot, robbed. There's this people crashing stores. It's like not breaking in, but like left the door open, just pushing each other. It wasn't a very pleasurable experience. So Jordan letting everybody know a year in advance, making a million some models, like Nick was saying, having like the supply and the demand is a really powerful thing for the end of the year, where somebody who really wants one pair of Jordans a year, that's one pair of original classic Jordans, can like plan appropriately, there's inventory for them, and they've kind of made the Jordan 11 the most approachable quote-unquote classic Air Jordan.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well said. I think, just to reiterate, I think that we become numb to, the chaos around releases, partially because, like, we pay attention enough, we're on the apps, we're not, lining up and risking our lives to get a pair of shoes. But I will say that, like, even back to, like, 2001, like, the Cool Grays in 2001 are the first time that I remember locally hearing about a shooting at a release, and that just changed like everything in my mind. I can't say that I stopped maybe lining up for some stuff, but after that it was like, I'm not interested in even like the possibility of that happening. So it's just not worth it to me. And I do think that, since we're kind of harping on Jordan Brand with the 11 releases, but I will say that I'm actually excited, and one of the things that I was excited about to hear around the Concord release, I think that Jacques Slade Cousteau mentioned this, but something about like, just seeing people that had never gotten a pair before were able to get a pair. And to me, that's awesome. Even though, for resale, it's not good because there's so many pairs in the marketplace, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's going to have them, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's good that people get the chance to experience this stuff that obviously we're all passionate about. And, part of the problem for a lot of, the drama that comes with Jordan 11 releases is because shoes are just limited supply. And, we've all known since 2001 that Jordan 11s will sell out at almost any production level at this point, right? So it was dope to see Nike, Jordan Brand, stepping up production and just pumping out a lot of shoes last year for the Concord release, because it had all of the nostalgia to it too. It's an OG color. It's something he wore, like all the storyline is there. Right. And I'm really hoping that with the playoffs, breads, whatever you want to call them, the same thing is true, right? Because this is like Bulls colors, and I wore the original playoff 11s to prom in high school. Like that was, and everybody made fun of me, you know, like I remember walking in like people like, he's got Jordans on, what? What's wrong with him? Like kind of stuff. But like, there weren't people that were into sneakers back then. Right. Like,
yeah.
And that was, you know, I was very few, one of the very few that, you know, was just obsessed over it, you know, and, I don't know, just got off on a tangent there, but I just think it's cool to see him going big on the 11, you know, on production.
Yeah, I'm just happy you said that because, and I had to stop and think about it for a minute. A lot of sneakers get jaded from the amount of time they've been collecting or just are so obsessed with getting the next shoe that you don't really stop and think about what shoe did I want 15 years ago that I never had a chance to acquire that I now have. Like, I was one of those people who never had a pair of Concords because I struck out in 2011, when they retro. Like, I couldn't get a pair anywhere. So I have all these Jordans in the closet that I wanted back when I was 16, and I kind of lost sight of, you know, the original joyous boy who just wanted to be like Mike and have the shoes from the picture. And I got to experience that again with the increase in volume from the Air Jordan 11 Concord. So sneaker collectors out there, don't get so jaded thinking, oh man, they're doing these again, when there's somebody out there who wanted that shoe for a really long time and now have a legit opportunity, you know, to experience a little bit of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and for me, like I consider myself really lucky to have been able to like make a living working in the sneaker business for, you know, 12 years or whatever it's been now. And I have like a legitimate concern for the future of the business when it's all based on hyping things up in the resale market. You know, I really hope that this helps get people that, you know, are going to become passionate about sneakers because they were able to finally get a pair and it wasn't because they went to some shop and had to pay $350, $400 for it, but they got it at retail, hopefully. And
yeah,
you know, those kind of things are, the things that, or those, this kind of shoe, the level of cool factor and the recognition that, you know, potentially a kid can get wearing a pair of shoes like this, where, you know, and it starts friendships, it starts conversations. And I think that's kind of always been my thing, is like, it's not really about the shoes, but like what it does is like, it builds relationships just based on the fact that you're wearing something and you have a common connection with that random kid that you become friends with in high school or middle school or college or whatever. And next thing you know, you're like 10 years down the road, you're building a business with that person because you guys became friends over sneakers. So
yeah.
I hope that, you know, we're off on a tangent, but I hope that they're continuing to think about like pumping more out, just because obviously the sneakerheads like us are going to want them. And, you know, there's plenty of other people out there that can learn the stories and have the experiences that we've been able to have and share those with others. So
100% agree with you, man. I think this is, regardless, like I say, the just normal person in me, not the sneakerhead side, is awesome. Like, everyone gets a pair, or, you know, within reason, because there's still going to be, you know, some people who may not get them, but it's going to be easier, and, you know, it's just something cool to have. There's nothing more to it, just something cool to have, and you're going to appreciate it.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it does get kind of scary when it's all about the next thing and not about, like, the kind of, to get, you know, salty old man on his soapbox. It's not about the feeling anymore. It's about the feeling of having and wanting than just, like, appreciation. I don't know. I really appreciate Nike. I appreciate them for, you know, the moments, the craftsmanship, the nostalgia. Like, there's so much that goes into making a specific shoe like a Jordan 11 beyond, you know, knowing it's coming out a year in advance. Like, we'll have to see how it all turns out, but it does get kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. So shifting gears, well, sort of shifting gears. Jordan, speaking of Jordans, things that are potentially well overpriced, Elon Musk wore a pair of custom Jordan 1s for the Tesla Y unveil, which I think it was DMC Customs that did it. But like, you know, like Python leather laces, black and red, with the big Tesla logos on the toe box. And of course, Elon made the big scene, you know, showing the shoes off while he was unveiling the Tesla Y. What I think is really interesting about this, well, let me just toss it to you guys first. What do you guys think about this?
I mean, it's just another testament of how sneakers are becoming such a part of everyday culture that is going into things. It's in the reveal for Tesla. Like, it was not just about the shoe. I'm sorry, not about just the car, but there's a whole story posted on so many different like sneak outlets about shoes at a business event, which just shows how sneakers are infiltrating everything, and they're just are just a hot commodity for anybody and everybody. Whether you wear, you know, a business suit or you wear a track suit, you're going to have some kind of commonality with the sneakers.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's not anything special. Like, a lot of celebrities now are doing really crazy high-end collaborations with these customizers. Shannon Sharp earlier today, the host of that show with Skip Bayless on Fox Sports in the morning. Can't think of the name of the show right now, but you know who Shannon Sharp is.
Yep.
He shared a picture of two Air Jordan 1 customs he had done by the shoe surgeon. And one of them, he took the black and patent leather green Soulfly Air Jordan 1 and made them Python and patent leather. And the second pair, he took a pair of off-white and made them like flower themed. It says like quote unquote flower on the outsole. And it's like all these different shades of like floral. So Elon Musk, you know, stunning is really cool because I think customizers would love to see their work getting that kind of on foot, in presentation type publicity. But the world of really, really high-end Air Jordan 1 customs, you know, you can go on down a list of people who make the customs, but, like, there it is, a whole other level of, like, premium, and it's good seeing them transcend, like, the shoe world into, like, the mainstream world, like Mike was saying. Like, you'll just see them on, like, Huffington Post now because they're different. So I think it's nothing but good. It's another aspirational shoe. I mean,
yeah.
Owning your own shoe company aspiration, car company aspiration. But power to them, man. I guess it's great for the customizer. It's great for footwear. And you get to feel fresh, which is what footwear is kind of all about. It's just, you know, feeling yourself and it's like, you know, vibing with your outfit.
Yeah, no.
Great, man.
I agree. I think that it's super dope. And like you said, it's given, you know, these customizers the opportunity to get attention on levels that they, you know, would have otherwise probably struggle to get to, you know, like to have their stuff on stage like that in front of, you know, as big as sneakers are, you know, in our view, right? Like sneakers are as mainstream as they've ever been, but the level of like brand awareness for Tesla is probably even exponential on top of like how to in comparison, like of like what mainstream really is, right? You know, what is it? Probably 90% of the world is familiar with, you know, Tesla or familiar with like cars, driving, and that kind of stuff. Tesla is constantly making, you know, huge waves in that space. And then to tie in like sneakers, you just kind of like have like this cool, I don't know, it's just like the, it's just cool to like see like the kind of two, for me, two worlds that I really am passionate about colliding. And hopefully it continues to go that direction. You know, like I see the one thing that I will say that I, and when I first saw this was, I'm glad that it's a customizer. I think it's DeMarco Customs, right? I'm glad to see that it was a customizer that, that made them. Because I always wondered like what the future of this kind of thing looks like. Now, if now that, you know, Elon Musk is, you know, connected to the sneaker world, does that mean that there's going to be, you know, PEs made by Jordan Brand for him to wear next time down the road?
Because
it opens up a whole big thing around, you know, product placement. Nike's already been doing this, you know, all the brands have been on this, but Nike's been very successful at making sure that people are wearing the right shoes at the right time in like the big moments in history, right? You could go back to like them getting placed in, you know, Back to the Future too with Michael J. Fox. You could look at, you know, whatever, Kanye at the Grammys, like basic stuff like that. But these kind of things, because of our nature of like making events out of what I would call like technology announcements, like, you know, Steve Jobs wearing New Balance all the time became a thing. But if there was an opportunity for a brand to hop in and be like, hey, we'd like to make you a custom pair of, you know, one-off dunks, one-off, you know, questions, one-off whatever for this event, if you'll wear them, I don't know. That could be a really interesting thing. I don't know that it's a good thing, but I just think it's an interesting thing. So,
no, it's a true thing, because you think about it, like we value shoes a lot, but cars are on a whole different landscape in terms of like everybody knows Tesla, everybody knows Ford. They're just on a whole different like level, and brands are super good having specific shoes. I have a friend here in Portland named Michael Merlino, and he made a custom pair of Jordans for a Netflix comedian who had her own special, and his shoes were the shoes of the special. So like whenever anybody watches that, they see a custom pair. I want to say they're Blazers, but that moment's time stamped by a shoe, and time stamping events with footwear is why we care about Air Jordan 11, because he wore the breads in the playoffs and he won the championship that year, and they had the best record at that time in NBA history. So they're just so well versed and just capitalizing on those moments and making them iconic for the footwear, so they can resell it underneath that iconic banner 20 years later.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, that Nike is not a shoe company. They're the best marketing company on earth because of things like this, these moves they make. And we remember them because they make sure a story behind them, and you can go tell your kids' kids, so on and so forth, and like, oh yeah, I remember the Jordan 11. I remember he went to the playoffs. I remember he won a championship when he after he came back from retirement, or even as simple as this. Oh, yeah, I remember when they released the Tesla Y. Yeah, Elon Musk was wearing these cool custom Jordan 1s. Like, everything, just like Robbie said, it's time stamped. You can put a sneaker, any significant sneaker with some moment in time, and bring back some kind of memory with it. And it's insane. It's awesome, though, for like, people like us who are actually passionate about the sneakers. You can find something and tell a story about it. This is not just some piece of material and rubber sitting in your closet.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you guys both nailed it. I think it's just such a, I don't know, it is just like such a moment, right? And like, it's, I'm excited to see what comes from, you know, I just think this is like, is going to lead to a much bigger thing for a lot of the brands and a lot of the, you know, because we're just at a point where, you know, and we're running out of time, but like, you know, influence and what influencers are and who influencers are is a topic we've been wanting to dive into. But at the most basic level, that, you know, Elon Musk is very influential, and he might not be known for sneakers, but he has an audience, and it's like really this is going to be an interesting progression. So to wrap things up, let's see. I'm gonna throw it to Robbie. What's your sneaker? What's your sneaker pick for this episode? Release wise,
easy answer for me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, easy answer. The St. Vincent St. Marian, St. Mary, LeBron 3 retro that's allegedly coming out sometime before the end of the month. I don't mess with the Celtics, and St. Vincent St. Mary is as close as I will get to wearing anything green. You know, it's one of those PEs I always wanted back in the day. And I've been theming for my first pair of the 3 retros, because both pairs of my OGs have crumbled in the midsole. So I'm just waiting for my first hit, and I'm really hoping those are the first hit for me. What about you, Mike?
And so mine is this one I kept seeing for the last couple of days. It is all the blogs are dubbing it the Almost Bacon Air Max 95. It's kind of reminiscent of the Dave's Quality Meat Air Maxes that came back in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It is a clean looking shoe. It's a, as I say, it's a 95, and I'm not sure the release date yet. I think it's going to be probably in the spring, early summer, but it's just a clean looking shoe, and hopefully they sit around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vic, you talked about how good Bodega is. Air Quality Meats back in the day,
yeah,
had the kind of experience, like one of a kind, this ambiance that probably will never be replicated. So, sorry for cutting in.
But no, absolutely. I think, you know, Dave's Quality Meats was just like, it was next level before we even knew what next level was supposed to look like.
Yeah, that was a real story. He was definitely, dude had stories when you look at his stuff.
Yeah, he
magic, like,
yeah,
concept selling. Now every like flagship store, like think about all the little like Nike Melrose spots and all the little pop ups they do.
Yep.
Like a lot of that is because of like the insight Dave Pauly Meats had what 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Sorry, Nick.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So I don't know when the release date is on it, and we talked about it in a previous episode, but I'm going to go with the Tailwind 4 in the Volt, white and Volt colorway.
Yeah.
That shoe's like, it was dope originally. I'm pretty sure, like, I'm going to have to check with my brother, but I'm pretty sure my brother had it when we were younger. And the more I see that colorway, the more I'm just like, damn, like, you know, it's got a little bit of green on it. It's got, like, I feel like I need to order some Sonics shorts and, you know, just, like, go Sonic full in.
Jersey.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. It's just grown on me like crazy, so that's my pick for this episode.
That was cleaner than the Supreme one. If I get one, it's going to be that one. I don't care anything about the Supreme one, but that white Volt one is an awesome shoe.
Yeah, the Supreme one has like an interesting texture on it or whatever, and I'm just not feeling it.
Nah, they can keep it.
No, it's great to see that they're bringing, you know, like the Vomero 5 that's been showing up a lot. I believe it's the Vomero 5 that Drake was wearing.
Yeah.
It's good to see these old school shoes.
That's a dope colorway too. Like the black and gold on that shoe looks really dope.
Yeah.
Such a technical runner that like when that shoe was out, you wouldn't see one person trying to wear that as like a lifestyle option. That was like a strictly runner's runner. And now it's like, I guess it's aged really well. Like, I didn't think it did at first, but apparently it has.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, with that said, we're going to wrap it up for this episode. And I'm Nick Engvall. You can find me all over the internet at Nick Engvall, N-I-C-K-E-N-G-V-A-L-L. But more importantly, at Sneaker History, sneakerhistory.com. But Mike, Robbie, why don't you guys let them know how they can find you?
Find me all the time at sneakerhistory.com. You can also find me Instagram, Twitter, MadWatcher789. Robbie, tell them where they can find you, man.
You can find me on a shoe website near you. But other than that, find me on Instagram and Twitter at Robbie, R-A-H-B-E-E, 702.
Cool, cool. Well, thanks for another episode, and we will catch you on the next one. Peace.
See you.
Have a good night.
What up, guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I want to let you know a couple things we've been working on. We're about to start a weekly newsletter just to kind of share some of the stuff that we find from around the web, you know, in the sneaker space that's interesting. Maybe some resale prices, maybe some funny stuff, some random sneaker stuff, you know, all the stuff that we pass around on social media. But we want to put it in one place, so if you don't spend all week on social media, you can just subscribe to the newsletter on sneakerhistory.com, and we'll send you a list of things that we find entertaining. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some sneaker history merchandise. Right now we've got a few t-shirt options, a couple coffee mug options, some stickers on the way, other good stuff in the works, and the money that we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast that you listen to today. So you can find that at the top right menu of our website. And if you cop some merch, just be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost, because we really want to just, you know, show some love to you for showing us love and supporting what we're doing here. So thank you again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.